You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Happy Friday to you. Steve Sipple out. Jake Sorensen, I am living with you live from a house in Kansas City. Bill Bush in the studio. Bill, how much sleep did you get last night? Over, under 3 hours of sleep.
Oh, I got over that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I was able to, but I did end up watching the entire game.
Okay.
Because the game stayed interesting, obviously. So I was able to watch the entire thing. They took care of sugar. So I probably got to bed at 1.
1 a.m.?
Yeah. So probably 3.5 or so.
Okay.
3.5 to 4. So I'm fine. Yeah, I think a lot of Husker fans probably had less than that. So, but no, good to go.
I'm going to guess a lot of Husker fans are on low sleep. I think I got to bed around 1:30, 1:45. Actually got back to the house I'm staying at respectable time. I'm going to say right around 12:30, 12:45. But
it must have been very functional getting people out of the parking lot then.
I think I got to give credit to Arrowhead. I think a lot of people were complaining about a lot of things, as people do. But we parked pretty close or to an exit and got out. I would say from the time we walked out of the stadium, which was probably 5 minutes after the game ended, walked to the car, we were out of the parking lot in 10 to 15 minutes max. It was not bad. So pretty smooth in our drive to our house we're staying at. It was probably 20, 25 minutes max. So I got to say, Bill, I'm impressed in terms of our ability to get out of there. I was guessing we wouldn't leave the parking lot till 1:30, but left by midnight or 12:15. So not bad. Not too bad.
Sounded as if going down was some of the problems that we had discussed.
Yes.
There was not. I couldn't imagine. Also, I don't know if anyone's aware of this, but I-29 is not just a corridor for Nebraska to go to Arrowhead. So there's other vehicles that might just be traveling on I-29 that got caught up in this mess. I just wonder who those people were.
That would be
the one that would drive you the most nuts. If all of a sudden you're stuck in traffic and can't get out of it and your day just went 8 hours longer because of a football game, and you were just trying to be a semi driver,
right? Exactly.
Trying to do his job, and I just wonder how much aware they were of those situations going on, because there was a lot of concern going on from the reports I was getting.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, we left Lincoln at, I'd say, 9:45, and I appreciate Bill for the Breakers texting me and Nick, Big Swim, in a group chat, wanting updates. You want to make sure we had a safe travel.
I did. I texted some updates. I want to see where you're at.
I'd say you texted several times because, yeah, the traffic was horrible. What's typically a three-hour drive, even we left early. You know, people left around 11, noon, 1 to get down there. We were 9:45. We pulled into Kauffman Stadium, which was right by Arrowhead for our Blur events party. We parked at 2:05, so it's 9:45 to 2:05. It was well over 4 hours, which is not the typical drive to Kansas City, but made it through. The Blur parties was fun. A lot over 2,500 people stopped by that, which is awesome, and got to the game in time. So can't complain, Bill. I mean, I'm sure others were late to the game or were caught in worse traffic, as you point out that I-29 is busy regardless of a football game or travel. Rush hour combined with road construction combined with extra rush hour of football traffic. I can't imagine the nightmare people went through in that 4 to 5 to 6 p.m. time range on I-29.
It all could have been handled easier. Just open up the parking lot instead of at 3:30, open it up at noon, and you don't have any problems. And I just have a hard time believing it was going to be we open at noon, it's going to be mass chaos. There'll be all kinds of fights in the parking lot, and there'll be, you know, the police can't handle it. I just don't see it. And yeah, it makes no sense to me.
I'll give them credit. They said 3:30 was the time. I believe that me and Nick can attest that we saw cars getting parked in the 3:05 range. They opened up, I believe, 25 minutes earlier than they were supposed
to. Oh,
great.
Yeah, nice. So, Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm just going to give them 25 minutes, but some kudos. I mean, yeah,
I'm not.
Been earlier.
No. 25 kudos. Minutes isn't enough.
All right. That's fine. But regardless, it was a great crowd, and we'll get to roll call here in a second. But Nebraska wins 20-17. We'll have a breakdown throughout the show of what this game means and just all about it. I will say this, Bill, you and I are big on weather. We're big on all that stuff. I don't think I've been to a more pleasant weather atmosphere ever. There was no rain. There was hardly any wind. It was 74 degrees. It was basically a Bill Bush paradise out there. Maybe a little warmer than what you'd want, but 74
degrees. I'd like it about 2 degrees colder, but yeah. But no, it looked incredible.
It was awesome.
On TV. It looked really good, and obviously the crowd looked tremendous for Nebraska. So, yeah, it was a couple times they showed – I think there was four fans there that I saw from Cincinnati. They kept showing the same four guys. They kind of had front row seats. That's what I saw. It was four. Did you see more than that, Jake?
Oh, Bill, you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think in the early fourth quarter, like they tried to make this look like on the video board it was a Cincinnati home game. We all know it was 98% Nebraska fans, 99%. But they had video elements showing Bearcats highlights. Not Nebraska, but just Bearcats highlights. And then like in the early fourth quarter, they were doing the thing where they panned to the fans in the stadium, and it was funny because usually for Nebraska you could go for hours on that. They panned to like two groups of fans of maybe five people each, and then they panned to the band and the cheerleaders, and then one more group of fans. Like that's all, they had to out of five shots, they had to go to the band and cheerleaders because they didn't have enough fans to they could find in the stands like to highlight, hey, Bearcats fans are here. So, yes, our Mo Egger, Tony Pike, their thoughts
they nailed
on,
it. Yeah,
on
they
low
nailed
attendance
it.
Was correct. I don't have a number, but I did see probably in the concourse, I'm going to say 5 to 6 Bearcats fans throughout my time in my section, or at least in the 300 level walking around. So there were some. But
did you get recognized, yeah, Jake? Did people recognize you? Random people recognize you?
I did see some Breakers that were both at the Blur Parties event and at the stadium in general, or walking over to the stadium. People after the game, I was walking to my car. Someone yelled hash holes at me.
Nice.
Somebody yelled. I didn't get a Randy at all, which I was disappointed by. Trying to think what else. I got some yells, though. But, yeah, it was – and I didn't know all the Breakers. I didn't talk to the two of them in the concourse. I was rushing to my seat at that point. But yes, there was a great amount of Breakers at Blur in the parking lot and also at the game. So shout out to
appreciate the Breakers
our
for
wonderful
that, yes.
fans who were in Kansas City, and some of those drove home. I mean, Swim, I haven't texted this morning, but Nick Saner drove back to Lincoln last night after the game. I hope he got home safely. I haven't texted him, but I'd like to know how many people actually made that drive home. That's craziness, getting back at 3 or 4 a.m., but I understand people have other priorities for today, and more power to them for those who made that drive back.
I guarantee you there is a high percentage of those that drove it back. And that's what I wonder, too, just as far as, like, what was the traffic going out that was heading north? Because that had to be substantial.
Yes. I'd say quite a bit. But, yeah, I'm still happy that we had very minimal issues getting out of the stadium. I don't know. And breakers out there, you know, 464-5685, for those who were at the game, did you have a horror show getting out of the parking lot? Or, I mean, we all know it was bad getting in there with the traffic. But did anybody have – was it a good experience, a bad experience? I have not heard any horror stories at all. I just know mine was pretty good, so I'm happy with that. But, yeah, Bill, anything idle chit-chat from yesterday besides the football game, before the football game, you want to address at all?
You know what? No, it was several other situations, business things that I had to kind of take care of yesterday, and then mowed the yard.
Nice.
Which was fun. I had a chance to mow the yard and had a chance to watch some other football. But it's pretty, not eventful. I really don't have much.
Okay.
I don't. It was like there wasn't much going on with that at all. Like I said, it was a great day here in Lincoln, like it was down in Kansas City. And mowing the yard was nice. I mowed that, and I had the TV on in the garage, so sometimes I could see the TV when we mowing the yard, see what was going on as I was watching the Boise State game against South Florida, which turned into a complete dominance.
34-7. What happened there? 34-7.
They hit a great fake punt on them, which was very impressive. But the biggest thing that stood out for me, just watching, what was the one thing? Be quarterback play. That was the one thing. Was quarterback play for Boise State was really poor. And if you watch that game, that it almost knocks them out of the playoffs, Boise. You know, the one loss like that will be a tough one, and they still have Notre Dame coming up, so they're going to have to, you know, to go 10-2 or 9-3. That's probably tough, and there's probably a loss or something in there somewhere for Boise. And you're watching it wasn't impressive. They hung in there decent on defense, and then just they couldn't hold up any longer. But the thing I took from that right away was Boise State was ranked 25, and they're in no way the 25th team in the country. They're somewhere probably in about the 50th ranked team, and that's what's always interesting about the early rankings of teams. Mm-hmm. And you stop and go, and it's like, wow, there'll be a lot of them that'll come up. So the rankings won't start to look like they're actually real until about week 4 or 5.
Yeah, that was a stunning score. I mean, I'm not surprised to see Boise State lose. 34-7 was stunning. I would say this, Bill. Idle chit chat before we move on to roll call. I do not get stunned very often by many things in life. I don't get overly surprised. There was a moment prior to the game, not related to Nebraska football, that I think I was speechless for 15 seconds. I saw the breaking news of Micah Parsons getting traded from the Cowboys to the Packers. 4 years, $188 million. 2 first-round draft picks going back to the Cowboys and Kenny Clark, defensive tackle. I frankly could not believe that I saw that, Bill. I mean, you're not a huge NFL guy. You know how it works, though, that the Packers are not big spenders. They don't make flashy moves like that. I could not believe that happened prior to the game. It was the biggest surprise I think I've seen in the NFL in quite some time.
To say you're shocked was shocked. Everyone was. It was like, what?
I was like, what is happening?
You never thought that would happen. Also, I it's also from following it, and I wish I would, and today I will dive into it a little bit more and like to listen to some of the experts in the NFL world, because it just seems as if Jerry Jones made some really good offers. He offered him the highest paid amount, non-quarterback. And so it wasn't like that they said, no, we're just not doing that. We're not negotiating. We're not doing that. There were offers made that were really good towards him, and I have a hard time. I mean, if there's somebody that pays people, is Jerry Jones pays people. I mean, that he's never right. He's never been known like, oh, man, that's just how they do it. There are certain teams that are known for how they operate, and that's never been the Cowboys. And now there's rules, there's caps, there's all those different things. But a pass rusher like that, you know, he's a potential, his talent is a, you know, he's definitely a potential Hall of Fame player.
Oh, yeah.
Potential. He's not gotten to anywhere close to that yet, but – it was shocking and just probably kind of when it hit. And I think I said that right away, the first thing you think in my mind, if you're a Cowboys fan, which I think, Rudy, are you a Cowboy fan? Not. He wore the jersey there, Dad. That threw me. Yeah. Okay, I thought maybe he
it's
was.
Very strange.
Yeah. Is that right away, my first thought was, I don't see where they're at in just making a deep run to have a chance to win a Super Bowl when they lost him. That would be like my first take. Because pass rushers are so incredibly important.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nuts what how you need that pass rush. So, yeah. Very interesting.
It's shocking they trade him. I mean, again, just is the fact it was the Packers who do not make big investments. They typically don't have that. They like to make the, you know, they make good deals and find great players without spending big dough. I just was so stunned that it happened. But happy day for Packers fans. Concerned day for Cowboys fans, and I can't wait to see how that looks like when he hits the field. But I'm sure we'll have some idle chit chat throughout the show regarding things I forgot before, as I'm on low sleep, as everyone is. Everyone in the fan base is on low sleep. It's not just me; we all are.
What if we have some fans out there?
Do we
still have any listeners, Rudy?
Well,
maybe something we'll want to know about.
Yes, we'll get to that. That's idle chit chat, sponsored by 738 Ag. You need seed,
Joey.
Fertilizer, someone on the sprayer for you. 738 Ag runs the whole show. Custom application included. Learn more at 738ag.com. Yes, it is time on a Friday. We had a game last night. It's Friday morning. Nebraska fans are ecstatic. It is time for the roll call. Please text us your name, your age, where you're listening from, and what else we want from the Breakers today, Bill.
Just real simple. Has the holiday started? Are you working today? I just want to know, are you working today? Or is with the win, is this thing kicking off a full? Because it felt like yesterday there wasn't a lot going on after about noon in the workforce. Like people were kind of ready for the game, and that kind of conversation went off. Are you working today, Breakers?
And I have not seen news. I know, Bill, you were calling out yesterday. You said that UNL should cancel classes if Nebraska wins.
Is there any news on that, Rudy, to you?
I believe they have class.
They're having class, okay.
I think they are.
Oh, that's interesting.
It makes me kind of sad. I see a lot of empty classes. People are, you know, down in Arrowhead or KC, they're not going to class today. And I don't blame them. I'm okay with that, students, if you don't go to classes, as well as Bill.
If there's any classes, if there's any professors out there that were obviously great fans that said, well, I'll just cancel my own class, even if the president's not going to do it, I'm going to cancel it. I'm going to imagine you're going to see a pretty slow amount of people. We get quite a bit of traffic here at the station,
yes,
of students coming, heading to class. I bet today is going to be a little bit lower. I think people are kind of wound it up, and it's the weekend.
Here we go. We got some response, Bill. 464-5685. Les in Lincoln, age 73.
Lincoln.
On his way to to fish right now at the lake. Good start to the
nice
day.
Nice. Wonder what lake he's going to. Let us know.
I don't know which one he's at. Justin in Hickman, age 37, working right now. Tulane Tanner in Lincoln. Another Lincoln person. He's working, yes. Vince in Napa, California.
Vince, thank you.
53 years old. He's on his way to work. And right now it's 4?
Delivering water.
It's 4:15.
Door to door.
4:15 a.m. where he's at in California. So well done, Vince, getting up and after it. Rod in South Lincoln, yes, working today. John in Roscoe, Illinois, took the day off.
Nice.
Boy John, age 42. Corey at Duncan Aviation, 55. Nope, not working today.
So no one's making airplanes today. If you need an airplane today, if he's doing airplane sales and you need an airplane today, might want to push back, get a hold of Duncan on Tuesday.
Give him a shout after Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
Kyle in Boston, Massachusetts, age 22, half day today.
Half day.
For Kyle.
Nice.
Travis in Panama City Beach listening to us. Good morning, boys. Great win. I'm retired. I don't work anymore. Good for you, Travis. You're the man. So he's not working today. Jason Ceresco, yes, unfortunately working today.
Probably at Ernie's.
Officer McLeod in Columbus is patrolling the streets of Columbus right now, age 36.
Right now. Is there anything going on up there we should be concerned with?
Right. Was there any parties still going, Officer McLeod, from last night's win? It's very possible the party's still going. Reed from Des Moines is up with this. He's got something for his daughter this weekend, a USA skateboarding event in Des Moines. How about that?
It's in Des Moines. I wonder if it's like the half pipe. I wonder.
it might be. Jay in Colorado with us. He's working his butt off in construction today, he says. It's not just working, but working his butt off, he says. Dang. Jane, Colorado. Doug in Idaho with us as well. He's retired, so we're not working today. Cherry Bomb working in Milford.
The Bomb.
Chad in Kyle, Texas with us. MT Westy, we've got Bill and Bennett mowing the yard today. Does that work to you, Bill?
That's going to count. Yeah, it's going to be. I tell you one thing right now. And Bennett, get your stuff done. There's chances some rain looks like. Get your yard mowed right away. So I got mine done last night.
Boom. Sandmaster and Casey. By the way, I'm at Sandmaster's house right now in Kansas City. That's who the house I'm at. Sandmaster.
Is Sandmaster up?
He is. He says, I'm not going to work today. He is up. He's watching the show in the basement here.
Nice.
He's got the show up. He's watching me and you.
Can you see him? Can you see him
now,
live?
I cannot because I'm in a room trying to stay as quiet as I can without being quiet for the show.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
People are still sleeping. He's downstairs. The door is closed in my room here, but he's watching on the video broadcast as he's ready. He's pumped after last night. In fact, we got back and we took a shot, a celebration shot at 12:45 a.m., Bill. We did that.
Nice.
Last night because that's what we do. Brian in Toledo, an hour and a half. He was making that long drive to Champaign. He was doing the trip to KC and trip to Illinois. Big day. Hour and a half to go to Bloomington, he says.
Driving
all night long, which does not sound fun, but they're still with us. So thank you for being here this morning and driving. John and DeWitt with this traveling salesman, Ben, is working in Illinois. I'm going to YouTube now, Bill, real quick before we move on.
The tube.
Andrew and Lincoln just woke up for work.
He'll make it. He'll be fine. Thank you, Andrew.
Bolt is with us, our friend Bolt. He wants us people to push the like on the YouTube broadcast. Thank you, Bolt. He's with us as well. Thank you.
He's always promoting. He's always promoting, Davis. Thank you.
Brown in Eli, Iowa, 47 years old, going to work in Iowa City, GBR, in enemy territory. All right. Way to hold down the fort there, Brown. Rod in Youngstown, Ohio. Yes, working. Age 68 there. Dustin with us. Bob is trucking through Iowa on his way home to Illinois. It's a different one. The different person there than we had. I was driving through the night. Albert, Nels in Montana. The Breakers are here in even on low sleep, Bill. They're supporting us. We're supporting them.
I just want to say thank you. I mean, our Breakers, that this group of listeners are incredible, and they come through thick and thin. So we appreciate you guys logging on today or listening live, whatever you're doing like that. Thank you very much.
That is the roll call sponsored by Madsen's Bowling and
Billiards. Sarah.
Go see Sarah, the spirit animal of Lincoln, just out the 48th and Holdridge for all your sort of
happy anniversary.
Yes, I saw that. It was like Thursday, I think it was anniversary.
I think it was Thursday anniversary, yes. Happily married. Moved back from New York City here to take over the family business.
Absolutely.
The kegling business. Thank you.
Kegling, yes. Darts, karaoke. Great food.
Darts.
They have great food at EJ's Bar and Lounge with Madsen. So please go see Sarah and the team this weekend and have a great time their Labor Day weekend. All right, Bill. Last night, Nebraska, it was dicey. Got a little interesting at the very end. The Bearcats had the ball in Nebraska territory, trying to win the game or get to overtime. Huskers get a big interception from Malcolm Hartsock Jr. in the end zone on a deep shot from Brendan Sorsby to clinch a 20-17 win. There's a lot to get to from this game regarding a couple penalties early on that hurt Nebraska. A big one at the one-yard line, a false start, which drew my ire on the group chat. We won't repeat what I said on
the
group chat.
You weren't happy. You weren't happy.
Not happy at all. And if you were in my section at the game, if you heard someone yell loudly, that was
me.
I did not boo, but I was definitely animated at that moment because I knew it was going to likely be a drive killer as it was. It led to a field goal instead of a touchdown for Nebraska. Still a 13-3 lead at halftime. Nebraska, and then, of course, they win by 3 points. But I want to address a couple things here, Bill. And I mean, you watched this game, and I'm curious. You mentioned already this whole week that week one, week zero, weird things happen. It's your first time playing an opponent. It's obviously you've been practicing all fall long against your own team and fall camp. But weird things happen in game one. I didn't think it was an overly weird game. I don't know. Did anything that you saw – like surprise you from last night from either side, or just any sort of anything that stood out that was surprisingly in a bad way from this game?
No, because organization wise, when you were watching, it was two prepared teams which you didn't see with a lot of timeouts having to be called because they didn't have the right personnel in the game, mm-hmm. or they had problems with substitution, or like you said, where there's all types of just little errors that are made. Those things weren't happening. So it was meaning like pre-snap awareness plays. That didn't take place. You know, there was some offsides by Cincinnati due to crowd noise, different things that happened. But no, when you were watching it, it wasn't a bizarre game of like, what is going on at all? There was never a time that was happening. It was a slower paced game. There was one time in the first half where they went like back-to-back timeouts.
Yes.
And it was like because the game was just going fast. There was running the ball. They were huddling. All of a sudden, it's like, we're not even able to get our commercials in. Well, then the game changed a lot from that time. The game was took forever at that point in time. But that was different. But other than that, no, it was a very clean game by really on both parts. Just watch them in and out. You know, you didn't see the different things happen. You didn't show a bunch of things on the sideline of coaches losing their mind. You know, the way the cameras were set to look at the Nebraska sideline, they had to work to show Cincinnati sideline.
It was
a different look. But other than that, no, it was very, very clean.
There's a couple stats, and again, stats don't tell the whole story, but these are good stats for Nebraska. You know, again, you won the turnover battle. You two turnovers for Cincinnati, a big fumble. Another one moment, Bill. So I was upset at the false start at the one-yard line. I also was probably more upset that they didn't, on the field, get the call right on what I thought was the most clear fumble I've seen in a long time. The guy took, what, three steps and tucked it in late in the first half for Cincinnati? I mean, was it closer than you think it was?
It was closer than what you're saying,
okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And especially in real time when they would show it over.
Yeah.
But it was a catch and a fumble. So they got the ruling right. But that wasn't shocking that maybe was ruled an incomplete. It wasn't shocking to me because it had a chance for review. The shocking part of it was which showed up all game, was that Cincinnati was playing with they talked about the receivers they brought in.
Yeah.
What a disappointment.
100%.
I mean, the receivers were that it'll probably be I take that back. Akron didn't score 10-0 against Wyoming. So I'm going to say it might be the worst they'll see this year. That's not true. But what happened on the play, if you're Cincinnati, you've got to be just livid with it. It was a mesh concept of a crossing concept. And you're in zone coverage like that, your job as a receiver is to hook up. You don't keep running into coverage. And so you're supposed to stop, catch the ball, get vertical. He ran, and then Sorsby threw him right into the contact, and it was going to be a 1 yard gain, even if there's a catch, you know, in a 2 minute drill. I mean, I remember I was watching the game, I was watching with Alex and Sydney, and the score was 6-3. I said, you know what I'd do right now? I'd just go to half. I said, because they got a little bit of a Cincinnati got a huge break on it. I think it was a poor spot on the first down play before that to give them a first down. It was still just if you go in 6-3, It wasn't like they had no balls down the field. At that juncture, they had about 18 yards passing. And so it would have been better to go in, but the air by the receiver. Now, what he's taught, I don't know that for sure, but I know in concept football, you're taught that, hey, we're running this shallow mesh crossing route, and you're in spot zone coverage that you hook up. And he would have caught the ball and got back to vertical, probably had a 7 to 10 yard gain out of it. Instead, it's a turnover and the whole game flips on that play.
Yeah, and Nebraska capitalized with a touchdown to make it 13-3 at halftime. So that was a great way to capitalize there. Bill, you mentioned that the receivers. And, you know, Mo and Tony from Cincinnati, Mo Egger, Tony Pike, they knew. There's five new guys. They were optimistic about them. And this still could end well for them. You never know how this goes. But when you're quarterback, you know, Brendan Sorsby, here's the stats, Bill. 13 of 25 and a pick. 69 passing yards in the game. 69 passing yards, long of 14. Cyrus Allen led the way with 5 catches for 41 yards. Joe Royer, who could be an all Big 12 type of tight end, pretty quiet. 3 catches for 11 yards. So kudos to Nebraska's defense for stopping them. But you're right. For a group that they were, the media was pretty high on in terms of what they could be. That was disappointing. And I got to think, if you're a Cincinnati fan, you're saying that was not a good look. That's not what we expect from the receiving core. There's a long ways to go there.
Well, there was drops. There was routes that weren't run right. I also was very disappointed in – I thought the offensive coordinator for Cincinnati got much better in the second half. But when you're watching the game, I kind of watch it more from a defensive perspective. Sure. There wasn't a case where it's like, we're just taking Royer away. They didn't have a plan of how to get him the ball anywhere down. I mean, he's their best player.
Right.
And there wasn't a plan to get him the ball down the field, in the seams, different things. It just wasn't there. And also, they didn't help their receivers either with trying to create some free access throws, which you can create by formations, bunch formations, double stack formations, different things. Even that last drive, it was like they did not do anything for him to help him at all, because Sorsby can throw it pretty well. I mean, he missed, like everyone did. They had a couple of missed thrown balls, but he's pretty talented. And Nebraska obviously deserves credit, but I think that's going to be a struggle bus all year long for Cincinnati. I don't see it on the outside whatsoever. And so that's going to be interesting for him how that plays out.
Yeah, and it pointed out that, again, we already talked about Malcolm Hartsock with the game-winning pick. They took a shot there. They didn't really ever complete a shot in this game. And at that point, Bill, I mean, I'm curious your thoughts on their strategy, because they were in field goal range, I believe. Maybe needed a couple more yards for field goal range, and they took a shot at the end zone. And Hartsock had a great play. It wasn't exactly in a catchable spot, I didn't think, for that receiver. Did you mind the play call there? Do you mind the shot by Cincinnati? Obviously, it did not work out, but what was your reaction in that moment to that particular play that they did?
Well, I'd be the most concerned with how it was handled post-snap.
Yep.
Because the quarterback made a critical error. I mean, through interception, critical error. The critical error was that he saw it as one high. He saw it as man coverage, and it was a bail coverage to cover two. And so he did. So that ball would never be thrown into that coverage. If he puts it high and outside, Hartsock couldn't get to it. He threw the ball on the inside, and so he wouldn't have got to it. And whether the receiver catches it, don't know that. But he had a complete misread. So, and then that's the difference of, like, great quarterbacks, NFL quarterbacks. They would have saw that happen immediately when they were dropped back in. So, like I said, he misread it. He thought he had man coverage, which in general, man coverage, the ball's thrown up. Those are very low interception routes. It's like, okay, either we're going to catch a shot here or not. So I didn't mind the shot to say we're going to throw it down the field. And Nebraska also played for that. Because if you're at Nebraska at that point in time, what you don't want to do have happen is lose the game on a shot, because they're already in field goal range, a long field goal. But they were in field goal range. And also the chance, that was a first down play. Also, the chance that they get some more yardage was probably pretty good, that they were going to get some more yardage. So at that point in time, you're like going, listen, let's not worry here so much about having to not let them have a shot at a field goal. Let's make sure we don't have one that, because they complete that pass, it'd been hard for Nebraska to win. They'd have been down 4 with 40 seconds left. It had been tough sledding for him. So it was just a misread. Now, where, you know, if you go back and say, how'd things go? Man, Nebraska caught they caught all the breaks. And
they did.
They caught all the breaks. I mean, they had two gimme walk-in touchdowns on defense for Cincinnati that they didn't complete. On the sack fumble,
yes.
The first guy, if he picks it up clean, it's a touchdown.
Yep.
And not just so much clean, they don't even get the ball. Great job by Raiola getting back on them. But it's a walk-in, and then in the third quarter, I believe it was, they throw a layup, a pick six.
Yep.
I mean, it was a kind of a lob thrown ball back into the boundary, and it's just a layup one, and he just drops it. And I don't know how many. I'm say he catches that ball 99 out of 100. He catches that ball. It was just a layup right in. I mean, you couldn't have got it any better. It wasn't like tough play. So they had two walk-in touchdowns. The both in Nebraska on the one where they on the sack fumble where they could have scored on, Nebraska scored that drive.
They did.
And so that was just the monumental plays where things just went your way. It's hard to say, well, you know, that's just football. Well, man, that if those things are different, I don't know how the game wouldn't be a lot harder to win.
That's why though, Bill, I mean, this fan base is you know, and all in the coaches and players, you know, close games have eluded Nebraska in recent years. And it's just a variety of issues. It's not the same thing every game. So when you're at this game or watching on TV, Nebraska fans are expecting the worst to happen. Oh, here we go again. And that sigh of relief you have when that pick is made by Hartzog, I mean, some disbelief that it ended like that with the way they were driving with Sorsby's legs and how he ran it. But It's something where, you know, that game was not a must win. We talked about the season can be redeemed if you lost the game. But if they had lost in that fashion again of a score late, a touchdown to take late, or overtime, and it's the same type of result, it's just I can't imagine where mentally the fan base is. I'm not going to speak for the team or coaches and how they overcome that, but the way it ended that way, I saw so much relief in that parking lot. And that fan base leaving the stands, that it was a beautiful sight to see, Bill. Sighs of relief all across Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, I would imagine the narrative across the board is going to be great win. It's all that matters is a win. It's a W. A lot of work to do.
Yep.
I think that's probably the standard narrative across the board. Because if you break down all the different things, because if I had to say right now what Cincinnati, I think they'll be fighting that last game hard to be a 6-6 team. Mm-hmm. And that might even be, when you're watching, there was never a time you were watching them, you were like, man, I think these guys, they might win the Big 12. That's not the case. You know, I was astounded with some of the things that were going on defensively for Cincinnati, you know, because it was just, there was free access throws everywhere. And on third down, I would point it out to, we were watching the game, I was watching it with my son-in-law, and I'm like, there's a layup throw right here for first down. And that's what they threw it to, and they didn't miss it either. And it was so many times that they didn't challenge receivers. I mean, you just can't do that that's the first thing you say defensively on third and four to third and six is you cannot allow a free access throw. In Cincinnati, their coverages they called allowed a free access throw. On those situations. And then so some people were, I know where there was a narrative of, man, we don't take shots in the field, everything's dink and dunk, we're not doing this like that. I would have dink and dunk too, because everything's wide open. And that was the, you know, a situation that I thought for Cincinnati, Cincinnati was very, very generic defensively. Nebraska was much more advanced defensively with their plan.
We have a lot to still get to throughout this game, throughout the show today. But before we get to break, Bill, if you are hungry for breakfast, brunch, or lunch in the downtown Lincoln area, where might you tell Breakers to go today?
The Bird.
Early Bird, 19th and K is open for...
Went yesterday.
You did?
Yep, had breakfast yesterday.
How was it? What'd you have?
Incredible. The breakfast nachos. So it's like breakfast nachos, but instead of chips, it's tater tots. It is incredible. Yes, breakfast all day. We lost Jake. What happened, Jake? Yeah, what happened to him there?
Am I here? You have me?
No, we have you. No, you're like coughing or having a meltdown there.
I did. I'm sorry about that. Well, you can have a variety of options like breakfast tacos or breakfast nachos like Bill had. You can have pancakes, waffles, and, of course, chicken fried steak, which is smothered.
There you go, Jake.
And don't forget.
Rudy, get ready.
Don't forget, Rudy, if you want to really make it a full experience, you can get the world-famous hash holes.
Hash holes. Rudy. Hash holes. I even warned you before. Rudy, you nodded your head. I said, are you ready? What happened?
Why, we're gonna Rudy, go one more what time. Happened? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Rudy.
Delayed's better than never, Bill. Exactly. It's all right. Stop by Early Bird today, 19th and K, downtown Lincoln. Open till 2 o'clock every single day. We'll take more of your texts. Give us your thoughts. 402-464-5685. More next at Early Break in the Ticket.
You're listening to Early Break with Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen, and Bill Bush. Sponsored by Sandhills Global on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.